2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll notice, beginning in verse number 17, and we're going to read through some verses in chapter 6. If you would like to stand, it's okay. I encourage you to stand if you're able, and it's not pain for you. Just we can give our attention to the Scripture. Like I said, if you're in pain, don't feel obligated in any way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, notice that the Word of God says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also. Beseech means beg, by the way. I'm sure you probably know that. But we beg you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give me no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. We're going to get the crux of the message, and from verse number 2 here, where it says, now is the accepted time. So that's what we're going to preach today. Now is the accepted time. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you move in our midst, and you be glorified by the preaching of the Word of God. Help me be true to the Scriptures. Help me to represent you in the way that brings you glory, and then that will truly focus all the attention upon thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, thank you for standing. Two main thoughts we're going to look at in the passage today, and you know, and as with every passage in the Word of God, and it's a good passage. If you don't think it's a good one, it's just because we hadn't understood it yet. This passage that I read, what in the world is that there for? And then a few years later, I read it. Oh, that's what that's there for. But in verse number 2, well, actually in verse 1 of chapter 6, we see he's speaking to the church of Corinth here. He's trying to admonish them. He's trying to challenge them. And as we see, he's begging them. And Paul is someone that had divine revelation from the Lord. He's writing scriptures by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's walked with God. He's seen miracles happen. He's gone through physical miracles himself. And coming to close to the end of his ministry, he's got a desire for those that he's given his life to. And he's saying, this is what I'm begging you to do. And he says that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And he says it in such a way, now is the accepted time. So two main thoughts we're going to look at today is, number one, now is the accepted time to properly receive the grace of God. And now is the accepted time to properly represent the ministry of God. Now we see here the first thought. He said, you receive not the grace of God in vain. That's two different categories of people he's talking about here, because in verse 21, he speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for he hath made him, referring to Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All of us in this room are sinners. And God allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to be made sin for us. He experienced death for us. He experienced the penalty of sin for us. That's what the cross is all about. He made Him to be sin for us. And when you make something, keep in mind that's not creating something. Jesus was already here from the beginning of time, but He made Him. Allowed Jesus to take on the form of a man, though He never sinned. Jesus took our sins upon Himself, and so He could become sin for us. Our sins went upon Him. He went to the cross, experienced the shame, the humiliation, all the things that sin do for us. Because when we sin, it does bring us shame. It does bring us humiliation. Now, I do understand in the world we live in right now, sin is becoming much more accepted than it ever has been. But there will be a time when all of us stand before God, and whatever sin we've done, the Bible says, even the idle words we're going to answer for. And we'll be ashamed of those times unless we have those things covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in Him. And He tells us here, He said, as workers together in Christ, I beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And I believe Paul knew who he was talking to here. Because in Matthew already, the Bible says that, and he spoke about the church, he says that there be many that shall say, Lord, Lord, that shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So I believe Paul even understands that within every given congregation, there's a possibility that there are those there that have never been born again. There are those that have never received the grace of God for the first time. There are those that have never known the joy of a new birth, known the joy of what it means to be born again, rescued, saved by the grace of God, to know that you're one of God's very own children. You know, I mentioned that when I was in South Dakota recently, that I met a lady that was there, that she'd been abducted when she was 19 years old, and she's 24 years old now, and she was there with a friend of hers that was journeying for the first time to meet his birth mother. He'd been raised by somebody else, and he'd never met his birth mother before, and they were taking him to meet her for the first time. And can you imagine what? And there was excitement, there was intrepidation, and to finally come to know the person that birthed you into this world, and to know that this is the one you belong to. And one of the greatest things about salvation is the Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're one of God's own children. And God has that opportunity available to every single person. That's why He allowed Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the whole world. It's just a question of matter of will you accept His adoption or not. He's proven His love. He's given His life. He's given His blood. And if you'll just but turn from yourself and believe on Him, you can receive that grace that He has for you. I mean, He said, please don't receive the grace of God in vain. Because the Bible says that the grace of God that brings salvation, it's appeared unto all men. So every single person at some time in life experiences the grace of God. He says, don't receive that appearance in vain. And He wants us to, those that are not saved, now is the accepted time to be born again. If you ever wonder, I've answered the question for you through the Bible. Now is the accepted time. It's no longer time to rest outside of the family of God. I was in there singing. Morgan came in there, and while I was singing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I was praying. I put my hands on Him, was praying for the day that hopefully by the grace of God, He'll become a part of the family of God. And praying for the day that He'll not just be part of the family, but He'll be a part of the family that is totally in love with God. Though we don't compare ourselves among ourselves, but as we look at some of these faithful servants in the Bible, if by God's estimation, He would love Him with all His heart, His soul, and His mind, and all His strength. And God beseeches me that I receive not His grace in vain as a servant of His, that I can properly distribute that grace so that every person can have the opportunity to know Him like He wants them to know Him. So if you're without Christ today, God brought you here because of grace. He loves you. He died for you. He gave His life for you. This life, this body that you're resting in right now is not all that God made you for. God made you to know Him personally. He's not like us men in the world. We're imperfect fathers. And sometimes we just want time to ourselves. God, you made us to have our eternity with Him. God says, I want you forever and ever. And God said, once He saves you, He said, I'm going to make it so clear, I'm going to place within you the Holy Ghost so there's an instant. And the Holy Ghost is better than a cell phone. It's better than instant message. It's better than anything. Because think about how connected we are through media. And praise God for that. I was able to talk to different family members on my birthday and things like that. Praise God for those different types of things. But you know, sometimes you can have a drop call. Holy Ghost never drops a call, amen? Sometimes you can try to dial and you can't get through. One of the young men was trying to use my phone on the way in and he was trying to call in and just it wouldn't go. And finally it did go through. But the Holy Spirit of God is within us. And so when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside us so that when the grace of God appears, something cries out, it doesn't run from God. It says, Abba, Father. You know, and I've never seen that so much as I have with Morgan, is that when he's in trouble, he comes to me because he recognizes that he's done wrong. He's supposed to, and he wants to resolve that situation. As many times he'll do something wrong, Papa, I love you. you know what he's saying? Same thing you say sometimes. You know, I really didn't want to do that against you. Now, he wanted to have his own way. That's a fact. But within, if you're saved, you can identify with this. There are things you do that are clearly against God, and you know it. And in your mind, in your heart of hearts, you're not sitting there thinking, I want to go against God at this moment. But you know you did want to have your own way. And you do it, and for whatever reason, and thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that didn't just leave you out to yourself and said, I'm tired of fooling with you. The Holy Spirit of God is always saying, come back home, amen. And the Holy Spirit says, come back home, and in your heart cry, Father, I love you. I didn't mean to do that. One of the things we'll be dealing with at the conference, the pastor will be dealing with, is people just trapped in a cycle of besetting sins. Same sin over and over again. And they don't seem to have any victory. The Bible says that that the Son ever should make you free, you'll be free indeed. So many things that are missing from the Christian life that people don't know anything about. Like joy and just fruits of the Holy Ghost. And God says, don't receive His grace in vain. If you're without Christ today, that emptiness in your heart right now, that dissatisfaction, because right now there's something out there that you think you need to have to make your life fulfilled. There's something more than Jesus Christ, and you think if we could just have this, if I just have that, or you might even be thinking, well, why won't God just leave me alone and let me be? He loves you too much for that. Earthly fathers and earthly mothers do that all the time. They just finally get tired of fooling with the child. That's why so many spoiled children. Well, Tim, we're really facing a challenge this last one, trying to remember biblical principles and realizing that, you know, it's easy for my flesh to let him have his own way. But he's going to have such a life of unrest and peace if I don't teach him how to deny himself. And because my own way is what almost calls me to leave my wife and my two daughters. My own way is the cause of every bad decision I've ever made in my life. And Jesus saved me from my own way because somebody showed me the grace of God. And the Spirit of God came to me and gave me the grace of God. So we need to properly receive the grace of God under salvation. And we need to properly receive the grace of God under service. And in 1 John, Titus chapter 2, I think I quoted this verse on Tuesday night, but it's okay to repeat things. Amen. God did. So there's several verses he quoted verbatim even in here. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 9, we'll start there. Titus 2 and verse 9, he said, exhort servants, that means challenge them, encourage them to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all doing, not answering again. So servants, you're just supposed to do it. You don't have to have no back talk, right? That's one of the principles that parents train their children by. So their parent asks you to do something, just do it. You don't have to have a back talk. When I was in the military, yes sir, no sir, no excuse sir. Sir, do not understand. Just do it. And it says here, and please him with all, they're not answering again, not purloining. That means stealing. Servants don't steal. But showing all good and fidelity. Actually, purloining goes even further. It means literally to take or carry away for oneself. That's what we do sometimes with the grace of God. We use it for our own self. The grace of God is not for our own. Just God extends it to us. But again, He's commanding us here not to receive it in vain. And then He says here in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." Now here, if you're a child of God, this is how the grace of God appears. You have to receive it as such. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness. This is something in the Christian life that Christians don't want to hear too much about anymore. And this is part of the grace of God. That ungodliness must, you know why ungodliness must be denied? Because that is what destroys you and me. That is why we were lost. God's not trying to rob you of fun or any earthly pleasure. He's trying to keep you from destroying yourself. How many children found out that candy was not as good as they thought it was when they bit down on their first cavity and it felt like their head was going to explode? They were so glad to have it, you know, before then. And they think, why are my parents being so mean to me and not letting me have that candy? You know, all the time. All right, and then all of a sudden, they bite down one day. I'll never forget when I was a kid, bit down. I was biting on a crayon for some reason. I bit down on a crayon and like I felt like my head was going to explode. Like, what happened here? And it's because I was a sweet tooth. I was a candy stealer. I was all those things. So, and I had my own way. And guess what? It put a hole in my head, in my tooth. And God tries to get us to deny ungodliness, because you know what it does? It just breaks us down one day, and then we all of a sudden we have a sharp pain, and we don't know what caused it. And we look at, how did I get so far away from God? How did I get myself in a situation? I never thought I would do this, think that, react like this. Because we have to deny ungodliness. And it also says the grace of God also teaches to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Now I tell you, this is a hard subject today, because Satan has so many worldly lusts out there. Because see, the question that we ask today is, well, what's wrong about it? Instead of saying, what's right about it? Instead of what part of what's out there is God's plan for my life? And that's why we endeavor to have a spirit-filled church. I just encourage you to ask God about it. And if you have a heart that really loves Him first, you'll be amazed. There are a lot of things that you and I will both walk away from that we have a part in. Because number one, if we take time to talk to God about it, we find out, man, it's nice talking with God. And so you don't have time for some of those worldly lusts. You know, it's not all about, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It's about, somebody says, can you come do this? No, I'm with God. You know, it's just like when I first started dating Susan, you know, she didn't tell me that. I said, now, if we're going to be together, you ain't going to be talking to him here and there. You know, the guy to call me, and I wouldn't say, hey, man, my girl won't let me come. And I said, no, I said, man, I got plans. Because I wanted to be where I was at, amen. This is where I'm going to be. I got plans to be somewhere, you know. And when you start fellowshipping with God and you get to know Him, and especially in that you're one of His children, then it won't be like, well, you know, because a lot of churches would rather you set out a bunch of rules. They say, people did, well, do it this way, do it that way, do it that way. I used to like it that way myself. I like just being told what to do. I'm kind of simple-minded. It's easy to do it that way. And a lot of people just want their own way, but I encourage you just to know God and get close enough to Him to where there's some fruit. You know, when you just look at Galatians chapter 5, and think about this. Lord, thank you. This is good. This is good. Catch this. Don't miss this. Now, He said, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, meekness, goodness, temperance, and faith. Now, what we do, earthly speaking, we go try to make those things happen. I want to be more like it. I want to be more of this. But you know what? You know what makes fruit grow? What are you doing to have to make some fruit grow? Water. You have water, but you can't grow fruit just on water alone. What do you got to have? Sunshine? Dirt. Yeah, dirt. We can't go with dirt, no. You got to have a seed. And the seed is what? What does the Bible say the seed is? Pardon? Somebody say it like you know it. Luke 18:11. The seed is the Word of God. So you got to plant that seed. You see, wonder why there's no fruit. How come I'm not being more loving? Well, how much time are you in the Word? How can I have more joy? Well, how much time are you in the Word? How can I have more peace? Well, this is because that. This is because this. This is because that. No, how much time are you in the Word? The seed is the Word of God. And you plant that seed down there, and guess what? The Holy Ghost is the water. And then all of a sudden, sometimes you don't know it. Where'd that fruit come from? I remember the first time somebody cut me off, and I wasn't mad about it. And that's not all the time, I have to be honest. But I was like, wow, how'd that happen? It was a seed, amen. Because that particular week, that moment, I'd been in the seed of light, I'd been in the Word of God, the Word of light. I began to realize that how my Savior was so patient and kind. And honestly, I thought, what did they do? How did they hurt me? What did they slow me down like 3/10 of a second by cutting me off? How did that hurt my life? Jesus went to the cross, you know. I talked to my pastor this week, and we were talking about, he was mentioning somebody in the Bible, and being a different person. We were talking about a few things going on in our lives, and then we said, well, but praise God, it's not like these people in the Bible. And I told him, I said, yeah, I was just reading how Paul, the pinnacle of his earthly ministry, they said, away with such a fellow, it's not fit that he should live. That's how Paul was honored in the latter part of his ministry, you know. And everybody said, here's a man, walk with God, filled with the Holy Ghost, was beaten, loved those that beat him, preached Christ continually, and the majority said, could you get rid of this guy? And he's okay with that. Why? Because he properly received the grace of God. He denied ungodliness, which is to retaliate. Our flesh, we want to retaliate, take vengeance for ourselves. He denied the worldly lusts. I'm going to show them. And we should live soberly. You know, this is one of the missing messages of grace, living soberly. I'm not saying like live around in shell, walking on sad all the time. But say it's trying to encourage us just to don't take anything that matters. I mean, don't answer this out loud, but how many people really came today praying, thinking that somebody might walk into this service today that they could die and go to hell if the gospel is not preached here? And how many came to service today thinking that I may have a brother or sister or just someone I don't know very closely that may be on the verge of committing suicide because they're so empty and they're so broken down? God, would you meet the need of somebody's heart today? I mean, life, people need to think seriously about what's really going on in here. And everywhere you go. You wonder sometimes when I'm leading a singing, I don't know what verse I'm on. Because I'm thinking all these different, believe it or not, I'm thinking about, because you know, people that commit suicide, it generally just happens, you know. And people that are depressed and discouraged, they hide it and they don't know it. And I mean, even a crowd this size, there's possibly somebody in bondage to deep sin. They don't know how in the world to get out of it. And they need to know from Christ how to be free. And they need to. And that's what we need to be. That's why this is not just something we get through here. That's what we think soberly. And we come seriously. And our context that we have. With anybody, every time. If you're a child of God, you're supposed to shine what? Why is light generally needed? Pardon me? To see? Why else? So light generally needed to see? Why would you need light to see? Because there's possibly what around that needs you if you need light to see? Darkness. So if you're saved today and God sees you shine the light, that means a pretty good chance that, and since we're supposed to take our cross daily, that's a pretty good chance that every single day we're going to come into conflict with somebody that has some darkness that needs the light. And the grace of God says the reason that we deny godliness and worldly lust and we live soberly, because I've got a light that the world doesn't have. And there's some people in darkness that God can use to be help. And so that's what the grace of God says. And that's why the grace of God, when he sees sin, says, you know what, I could react to that. I could just sort of shine the light and sit. But he says we should live soberly, righteously. We do right. Amen. I was thinking the other day, I was May 15th, I was editing my journal, and God spoke in different things. God brought me back to Dr. Harvey's advice. He just said, just do right. Real profound advice, just do right. Amen. Doesn't matter what anybody tells. He said, you just do right. Don't think about anybody. Don't think about anything. You just do right. You know what I find? The more I look at God, the more time I spend with God, I see so much bad in me. I can't think bad of other people. God will somehow do a miracle and use me to help somebody. But he says, righteously, godly, win now in this present world. That's what the grace of God says. So this reinforces that now is the accepted time to properly receive the grace of God. Number two, and then we'll be done. Short message, I think. But that was a pretty long point. We'll see. Now is the accepted time to properly represent the ministry of God. We see that back in our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Well, what's the ministry? Well, back up to two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. And all things are of God. Well, why? Well, tell us why. And have given to us the ministry. Pardon me. And all things of God who have reconciled himself to us by Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now turn back. Turn to Romans chapter 2 just for a moment. May 15th. I remember because I wrote that date down. This was what I wrote in my journal on May 15th. And in chapter 2 of Romans. Now, if you want to take time, you ought to read chapter 1. And you see a great number of people in miserable sin. And great thing. We'll just read from verse 23, actually. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One of the things I've had to learn through children is that a lot of my principles of child rearing don't matter. I have to really decide. I've had to learn different things. Now, is this something really biblical, or is this just the way I want to do it? There's certain things I've had to learn. Certain things I really just don't have an answer for. I just said, well, you talk to the Holy Ghost about it, and whatever God says, you trust Him. And because many times I professed myself to be wise or something, and it was foolish, because it wasn't like it was evil, but it necessarily wasn't supported by the Bible either. And so the change of glory of God. Change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, because we're made to glorify God. And when we dishonor our bodies, that changes the truth that God made us in His image. See, that's why there's so much distortion about what we do with our image. Because anybody believe God is holy? And so, if He made us in His image, it would be a holy image. And everything about the world does something to distort that holy image. And what's happened is, if you think about it, if we're really made in the image of God, what we do by distorting the image of God, we change the truth of God into a lie. Because for us to be holy in this world is really obsolete. And there again, that's something you meet with God, ask God what that means. See, the great thing about spirit-filled life is that you're not afraid when people get their answers from God. And people that will actually take the time to get the answers from God, they'll have a spirit and a joy about them because they rest in that answer. And that's what God wants for every single person in this room. And that's what really puts us all in one accord. Because we'll find out how much God really is like, and we'll all take time to get the seed in. But prepare your heart for the seed. Remember that? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And then the seed get in, all of a sudden the fruit will come. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. Okay, this is the issue with all of us. We follow the lust of our heart more than love for God. To dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Because we do what we think is best for us more than what's best for the Creator. That's worship. That means we worship ourselves because we think we know what's better than us more than God does. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Now, if you understand what it's saying here, it's talking about sodomy and things of that nature. But there are many other ways that people dishonor their bodies also beyond that. And we'll understand that. We'll say why. I'll explain why I said that in a moment. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. It's amazing the evil stuff that's out there. People sit around and think about something evil to do. I used to when I was lost. I mean, and sometimes when you have to think too hard. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Word means nothing anymore. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that doeth them. Now, the average carnal mind would think, man, this is a pretty bad group of people out there. These people sound pretty wicked. But notice what God says about all that. He stops us here in verse 2. He says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. So when we judge somebody by meaning condemning, every single one of us is without excuse. Why? Well, tell us why here. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. And I wrote in my journal on May 15th how this is so, the reason this is so important, because the ministry is reconciliation, not condemnation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Satan works hard within you and with me to condemn other people. And God said, we're without excuse if we do that. Because when we condemn them, we're doing the same thing. And because, and you think, man, you say, well, I never did some of this stuff in here. But most of us have. If you didn't use your body completely for the glory of God in a moment, then you did something unclean with it, whether it be mentally or physically. If you had affection for anything other than God alone, the Bible says that set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That means you had a vile affection. It's a wicked affection. If you used your body for anything other than the glory of God, maybe you didn't commit sodomy, but it's still against God. It wasn't what your body was made for. And so we have to be careful that we don't condemn people. Why? Because it's inexcusable. There's no excuse for that. And the moment you judge people, you've said that the grace of God cannot reach them because you will cease to try to reach them. And if you're saved, the light that you have within you, you won't use it anymore. Because, well, they're not going to listen. The thing that's kept me in the ministry for years is the grace of God. And realizing things like this, that I do the same things in my heart. And the more I see Christ, the more I see how unlike Him I am. And the more I think about the grace of God, because I did not save myself. And, you know, and people you say that, and people really don't believe that. People really think, and a lot of Christians think they really straighten their own life out. You know, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, I know, I have Jesus in my heart, but it takes the discipline and it takes the character. You know me, Alexa, you know, I'm a refined, you know I did it, you know. You know, I wouldn't say, but you know, you understand, it was me, you know. And people think those things, you know what? And then we like that, because then we can say some power in us. Instead of saying, no, it's just grace. It's just grace. Seed comes in, seed works. God says, obey, we obey, and all of a sudden the grace works and moves in the hearts. And if we want to represent the ministry of God properly, we've There's nobody with beyond reach. There's nobody that God does not want us to help. And you need to see again and again and be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. And that'll keep you from being temperamental with people. You know, one of the things I try to think about, I think about different times that I've been in a hurry. I remember I was thinking about when my father-in-law was dying, and I was driving 90 miles an hour trying to get there as fast as we could. And I think of, you know what I thought about? After I got there and slowed down, I thought about, I remember once seeing a guy flying by me, whatever, with a car full of kids. And I thought, how irresponsible that guy is. I thought, man, I can't believe it. But he got all the kids in that car. He's driving so reckless. Doesn't he? And now I'm thinking, okay, wow. Maybe he had somebody that was dying that he was trying to get to see for the last time. You have to be careful when you judge and condemn people. You have no idea. Because you do the same thing. That person you cut off, the person cuts you off, and you get them down the river. Hopefully, with no four-letter words. Child of God, we trust you didn't. And then the other time, you just happened to weren't paying attention. Your phone just rang. You didn't pick it up because you're a good driver. You didn't pick up your phone, but you just kind of looked aside and weren't even thinking. Or you just looked at them and distracted. You pulled over and you cut somebody off. You didn't really mean to. Maybe that was them that did that. Or maybe they just had a miserable morning. They were fighting with somebody and fighting with their husband or spouse and just weren't paying attention. And they just went on. Or maybe somebody, they came to church, they weren't smiling. And you think, man, they're in a horrible spirit. And when you have a discerning spirit, and you think, man. And maybe they're, like your dear sister, shared a burden by their pain in their leg. Maybe they were so much pain, they just couldn't even smile. And people that are in bondage to sin, maybe they just don't know how to get free. I mean, think about it. If you're a judging person, then you're called into bondage of pride. But you don't. The difference between them is that you don't think you need to be free. Hey, I know when I'm full of pride, I think I'm all right. I don't think I'm trapped. I'm not like everybody else, so I'm not trapped. I'm okay. And then I can condemn everybody else that's not living up to what I think they ought to live up to. Instead of thinking, you know, maybe, wow, maybe they really don't like where they're at. And they need somebody strong, like the Bible says, to bear the infirmities of the weak. And maybe they're still there because there's no strong people to be found. This is why we have to properly represent the ministry of Christ. Because anybody saved today, and you really know it. And I mean, you're glad you gave your life to Christ. I mean, was it supernatural? I mean, was it amazing? Was it powerful? I mean, did you receive eternal life? Okay, one person did. Okay. And if you think about the magnitude of receiving that eternal life and the power that that represents, that the grace of God that came down to reach someone that did not even want the grace when it first appeared, wanted their own sin, and was really willing to risk death like I was, really willing to say, I'll just take my chances with hell, and the grace of God said, no, still keeps pursuing. Still keeps coming on and never gives up. And finally, one day, by the grace of God, you don't really even understand it, but your heart is condemned, you recognize it, and you finally understand that Jesus is the answer, and you say, yes, I want to be born again. And the freedom that comes with that. And how soon we forget what it was like to be trapped in that sin and what it was like to disrespect those that were trying to reach us, count off as crazy, and remember what it's like to just have to want any way except the way. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Salvation is a marvelous thing. But you know, unfortunately, by wholesale Christianity, it's been represented improperly. Like the scripture says here, how do you say it here? And the ministry is being blamed. And I'm talking about ministry. I'm saying that the ministry of the New Testament church is being blamed because people don't think they need church anymore. Because, you know why? Because what's supposed to be in church is a church filled with people that are involved in ministry of reconciliation. That means every time you walk in that door, from me to everybody else, we're supposed to be drawn closer to Christ. The first major reconciliation is salvation. People that just separated from God because they've never been born again. And so there's opportunity for someone to know God for the first time, to be free from a sin and saved. And then the second thing is, there's those that are going to come in spotted from the world. They came in, they really don't want to be here, but religious habit, they're here. They're expected to be here. They think, well, I should do it. Maybe he'll say something that I agree with, and if he does, then I'll follow that. That's the way most people come to church, you know, because we don't really respect the Word of God. We respect our personal thoughts about God instead of just the Word of God. See, the Word of God determines. The Word of God calls me to do things I don't even like. And so we should be thinking, is anybody here distant today? This way should be thinking, anybody here away from God today that I can help be closer to Him? How can I do that? If I can't, how can I share a joy that if I don't live in myself? You know, I thank God again for what God did in my heart, you know, and God's not finished with me yet. But God is continually allowing me to confront and ask the question, am I doing this out of a fear of Him, out of fear of man? When I say fear, I mean respect, you know, because we value each other's opinions sometimes more than we realize, and we value our own opinion more than we realize. That's the one that's most dangerous. Because I was talking to Dr. Todd here, he said one of the things that's happened through preaching is that someone expresses their personal view about God instead of expressing the biblical view about God. And the reason I continually I would say about the past 3 years, I tried to really emphasize the life that Jesus Christ has lived is so that there's no argument about how we're supposed to live this life. Because I can break down a few things about me and I can try to say it about me, but when you look at it, okay, Jesus, who made himself with no reputation, he took upon him the form of a servant. He thought it not robbed to be equal with God. I can, of my own self, do nothing, Jesus said. I see, children of God, you have a choice to make when you hear that. You can look at the imperfect example, that's me, and say, well, I don't think he's living in that area. Or you can say, Father, you're my Father. You're my Savior. What do you want from me? What am I supposed to be doing? And the thing that drives me to keep going is that, wow, I just want to be like him. And God knows I need to grow. And that's why I always welcome people to share faults. And if they see something in me that's not like Christ, it will not offend me. It may hurt me, but I need faith for all the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we need to be hurt. Amen. And when Brother Willow broke me down, I think, oh man, yeah. In April, it was exactly what I needed, man. I told him several times, thank you, man. He said, brother, he said, well, anyway, I won't tell you what you said. And the reason I won't, because it was self-serving to me, just so you know that. So I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm trying to make sure I don't exalt myself, because God knows that pride is one of my chief enemies. I know what it's like to be caught in the bondage of pride. You ever want to be humble and you can't? Yeah. Maybe you don't know anybody that, but you want to be humble but you can't? And you don't really know when you complete there, but I mean, basically, let me give you an example. The Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. You ever really want to think of somebody better than yourself? You'd, man, I just can't even do that. You do things for them, you put it in your mind, you're thinking, that's pride, because God told you to do it. And finally God will give you the victory, and you really finally think, wow. When you think, if you really look into the life of Jesus, how, I'm going to share this, I'll say this, I'll share this, I was done, I was reading, turn to Psalms. I left preaching. I'm pastoring now. I'm no longer preaching. I'm pastoring. Pastor is a shepherd. Pastor, he cares for the sheep. He loves the sheep. If you're not saved, I'm not your pastor, but I do love you. I've tried to share Christ with you, how you need to accept the grace of God. Your religion won't save you. Nothing in your culture will save you. Only Jesus can save you. In Psalm 17, verse 15, it says, as for me, Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, I was meditating on this. It's one of the things that God just slowed me down to write. One of the reasons I journal, because I move my life too fast. And I take time to write down and try to write long details of what God spoke to me to make sure I get it. Because I just move too fast over different things. And I was thinking about Jesus and the really Heavenly Father. Now, is God Almighty? Can God do anything He wants to do? And He's the Lord, right? That means He's the Master, right? And so here's the Master of everything. And He gives commands to His servants. And we're supposed to do everything He says. Is that right? If we, especially if we're a child of God, are we supposed to do everything God says? Yes or no? Amen. Amen. So God tells us a command. And know what He does? He commands us to do right. And then He makes Himself a servant. And comes, like the Bible tells us, to condescend to men in the low estate. He comes down and gets to us where we're at. And basically serves us to help us obey Him. That's when what a God. And the times that when I've gotten high and mighty, and my Savior is like that for me. Of the grace of God. That's the God that we all need to know. That's the God that's worth denying ungodliness and worldly lust for. That's the God who's worth loving with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And when we have when we simply have a will that wants to do what He says, it doesn't matter when it is, what the hour is, what the time is, He, no matter how many times we've been stubborn and even said no to His commandment, when the will finally turns and says, yes, Father, I'll do Your will, He condescends and humbles Himself and helps us to do what He asks us to do. My Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for the Scripture reminder that I'm so unlike Thee. But I thank You in advance that with that reminder, You have not left me hopeless, because You called me to be like You. And oh Lord, help me. God, I cry out to You, help me to be like You. Father, help me to shine the light. Somebody in this room is in darkness right now. Father, I've tried my best to shine the light of You and Your Son. Oh God, enhance and help what this frail
human instrument could not get across. Lord, there's someone here that needs to be born again today. Today, could you just make it make sense to them for some reason? Could this be the day they just stop running from salvation and they repent and believe on Christ? Oh God, would you free somebody today in that way? Save somebody's soul today. And oh my Father, there's some within this room that church is just something they do instead of Christ being something they live for. Oh God, would you free that person today? However the number of people is, free them all, Father. And Lord, I thank you for being such a humble servant. I think about my Savior washing the disciples' feet, Lord. And I think of times in my stubbornness, I've been mad at somebody instead of praying for them. God, have mercy on me. Teach me completely to be a man of grace. Make our church a church of grace, Father. Father, you've made it very clear. It's inexcusable when we judge or condemn somebody. Would you totally help our church to be a church that comes here with our eyes set upon thee? And Father, I pray you forgive me for the times I've judged and condemned people. And oh God, help us to reach every single person you want us to reach. I thank you for Jesus Christ being in our midst today, Lord. Please use your Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of every hearer and their attention completely to your Son.